This past weekend on NBC's Meet the Press, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld spoke about the U.S. occupation of Iraq and how Iraqis feel about it.
We know that the overwhelming majority of the population of Iraq favors the coalition and wants them to stay and appreciates the work and progress that's taking place.
Knowing what the majority of Iraqis want is a valuable commodity, essential to the ongoing task of stabilization there. A number of polling organizations have set up shop in Iraq for just that purpose, and they will be the first to tell you that measuring public opinion is very different in Iraq than it is in the United States. That's what we're going to be discussing for the rest of this hour. How do pollsters go about measuring public opinion in Iraq? What extra measures do they take to deal with the unique circumstances there? And what do we as consumers want from polling information? If you'd like to join the conversation, if you want to know what Iraqis think or want, give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Our guests are Richard Burkholder. He's Director of International Polling for the Gallup Organization. He joins us from his office in Princeton, New Jersey. Good of you to be with us today, sir.
Very, very pleased to be here, Neil.
And Gary Langer is Director of Polling for ABC News. He's with us from his office in New York City. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks, Neil.
Mr. Langer, let's start with you. Part of your job is to vet polls that reporters bring to your attention and want to put on the air at ABC and decide whether ABC News should go with those results. What are the questions that you ask before putting a poll on the air?
We get pretty detailed. You know, an enormous amount of survey research is produced domestically as well as internationally and comes flying in over our transom every day.
Mm-hmm.
The first question is whether it's interesting enough for us to report. If yes, then the second question is whether it's good enough for us to report. Frankly, far too few news people ask that. There's a sort of a lazy luxury in our business of being both data hungry yet math phobic, and we're trying to get beyond that. So when any survey research gets our interest, we check it out in great detail. Who did it? Who paid? How did they do it? We don't want some bland assertion that it's random. We need to see a detailed description of the methodology, the full questionnaire, and the full marginal data, that is the overall answers to each question. If we can't see all of that, here at ABC News, our work is very simple. We just don't report it.
Do you think that there are reasons to be especially skeptical about polling data from Iraq?
Well, on one level, no. I think there are good reasons to be skeptical about a great volume of survey research that's produced and sadly reported, national as well as from overseas. Because it is cheap and easy to do survey research with inferior and unreliable methodologies. You hear a lot about call-in surveys. A lot of internet surveys get picked up that are simply based on a non-random sample that are not representative and that, frankly, shouldn't be given the time of day. So it's no easier to do a bad poll in Iraq than it is to do a bad poll here in the States. It is complicated, of course, by the conditions on the ground. It takes extra effort, investment of time and energy, and that's something that, of course, Richard can tell you about when we get onto his Baghdad poll, which was so well done.
Well, we'll get onto it right now, Mr. Burkholder. You did conduct a poll in Baghdad. What are some of the pitfalls that you had to think about in advance? What were you trying to make sure that you the traps you knew about anyway?
Well, you know, I'm glad that you called it art and science, and there's really couple of sides to the technical side. One is we assumed really that there was going to be no infrastructure left to work with in Baghdad, no census data. So we had to do this the old-fashioned way, the way we used to do it in the States until fairly recently, which means a pure probability sample of all homes and then a sample of all probability sample of the adult within the home. But we figured there wouldn't be any census data to work from. So we actually had to go in very early July and find what was left of data from the prior census, some of which survived the bombing. But we also had high-resolution satellite imagery. So the technical side of it, we had to just sort of wrestle with the hard way, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and just old-fashioned legwork, and then re-looking at those neighborhoods, seeing which dwellings were still there. But there's also a human side to it. I think that one thing that's important we shouldn't lose sight of here is that people realize the old regime is gone, and they're really remarkably willing to tell their side of things if they trust both the interviewer and if they trust the interviewing instrument. That's one of the things we learned in our first Islamic poll. People said everybody wants to talk with our governments. They want to talk with their leaders. No one ever talks to us at the personal level.
Mm-hmm.
So really, the cooperation we get was superb, but that takes some doing in terms of how you craft the questionnaire and how it comes across to the respondents as well.
Well, let me ask you both. I mean, aren't you concerned that if people are being told this is a poll for an American organization that's interested, or even if it's being conducted by Americans, aren't they going to get different answers? And first to you, Mr. Burkholder.
Excellent point, and that's precisely why we didn't do it that way. One of the things we learned from doing a 9-country worldwide survey of the Islamic world that went from Morocco to Indonesia was that it really had to have a local look to it, in this case an Arab-to-Arab look. We said we'll put it out to a local media, you'll see the results, but there's no intimation that it's done for an American audience or an American client or American media. And so, particularly in this context, where we're in the context of being an occupying power there, that would have contaminated the data collection.
Gary Langer?
Well, that's right. They did it absolutely right. And what's refreshing about the effort that went into this poll is that there are other purported surveys out of Iraq that really pale in comparison. Some of them are as simple as sort of large-scale man on the street, in which you go out to coffee houses, you grab someone having an espresso, ask them what they think, you do that a couple of hundred times, and you call it a poll. It's nothing random or representative about it. Richard Scallops was done right.
Let's get a listener involved. Our number is 800-989-8255. The email address, totn@npr.org. And Dennis is on the line with us from Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Hi, I really have two questions. The first is, what do the Iraqis trust more, the Iraqi National Committee or Council, I guess it is, or Bush and the Americans? And the second question is, given that the trust level is now we're trying to establish a higher trust by Iraqis in our polls. In the U.S., in Washington, Republicans are starting to use polls for job candidates and trying to figure out if we are for or against the administration. I wonder how we can balance that trust issue.
I'm not sure I understood that second question.
Well, I got polled the other day, and I found out that they were actually calling me because I was a job candidate. And that, in fact, the poll was really fictitious. It was not a poll. They were just trying to find out if I was going to be voting Republican.
I see. All right.
Gary, do you want to take the part about so-called push polls, and I'll talk about attitudes towards the CPA and the Iraqi Governing Council?
Gary, why don't you start then?
Well, by all means. Push polling, that kind of misrepresented polling is improper. Some states, I believe it to be illegal, and I would suggest that the caller alert the authorities or send an email to the American Association for Public Opinion Research, APOR.org, on the net, which tries very hard to track down that kind of things. It's inappropriate. It's a disservice to good, valid opinion research, and it's something we all need to look out for. Let me make one point about the views of people in Iraq, which is interesting. I think the Gallup poll showed a sizable majority of Iraqis felt that the U.S. troops needed to stay in place for some time to maintain civil order, at least. By contrast, there was a survey reported yesterday in the Al Hayat newspaper that purportedly some poll that said 76% of Iraqis want U.S. troops to leave Iraq. Interestingly, this poll was attributed to the Ministry of Higher Education in Iraq, which, when we went to them, denies having anything to do with it. We're still trying to track down the source of that
reported data. That may be fictitious in the truest sense. Let me just get to the first part of the question, because I think it's an excellent point. It also speaks to the issue of whether, I've said we've gotten good cooperation. Now, what about the content? Is it reliable cooperation? I think what we find is that, but both with regard to the coalition and with regard to the Iraqi Governing Council, the respondents give credit where credit's due and criticism where criticism's due. With regard to the CPA, 62% said they thought they were doing a worse job than they had initially expected at the time of the invasion, but 50% thought they were doing better now than they had been doing in the first few months after the invasion. Similarly, the Iraqi Governing Council gets a favorable rating. 60% of the folks we talked to gave it a favorable rating, but 75% also say that they think its policies are still pretty much set by the coalition. So there's a real range of opinions, and I think they fairly reflect how people feel. I mean, people think that things have gotten worse, but long term they'll get better. So there's no evidence I see of trying to curry favor with the interviewer.
We're talking with Richard Burkholder of the Gallup Organization and Gary Langer, Director of Polling for ABC News, about polling in Iraq. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get another question in. This is Adam, who's with us from Pocatello, Idaho.
Yeah, hi. I would like to ask who are they polling? Which groups, ethnic groups, the Sunnis, the Shiites, who's being polled and who's conducting the polls?
Richard Burkholder?
I'll speak for ours. Ours is a pure probability sample of all of the metro area of Baghdad, which is 6.4 million people. That means every resident of Baghdad has an equal probability of being chosen if they're an adult. In other words, roughly a quarter of our interviews are in what used to be Saddam City, Sadr City. We have 122 locations around the city where we're doing an average of about 10 interviews per spot. So literally, it's a pure probability selected sample, and then we choose the adult within the household, and if they're not there, we go back. But one of the interesting things with so much crime and so much unemployment, an awful lot of people are at home large numbers of hours of the day.
Gary Langer, Baghdad is by far the most important city in Iraq, but not the only city in Iraq.
Well, it's one thing to keep in mind when you look at any survey. For example, this survey that Gallup produced in Baghdad is a survey of Baghdad residents. I believe that's around 20% of the population of Iraq. So we know well from that survey what residents of Baghdad think on any given issue. We've yet to learn what the other 80% think. We're waiting for a good national poll out of Iraq overall. That's a good kind of thing to check when you hear about a survey. Is it a true random sample? And then of what? Of what population? In this case, it's a random sample of Baghdad residents only. A good effort, but still not a full nation sample.
Thank you, Adam. Good
and
question.
And that's our next mission.
Yeah.
Gary, as Gary knows, we're on the case.
Here's Ben, who's with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi. What I wanted to ask is, obviously the Iraqi people are coming out of a regime in which speaking your opinion could result in death, and the kind of the face of America to a significant degree in Iraq right now is a heavily armed military. So how can the pollsters know that they're getting accurate information and not kind of a reflexive response to say what they think the people in power want them to hear?
Well, let me take a stab at that. As I said, we had only 4% of the people we interviewed disagreed with the assertion that the old regime was gone forever. And as I said, there's no look to this other than an Arab-to-Arab look. So there's no any kind of resemblance that this is being done either for the authority or for an American audience or whatever. As I said, there's criticism throughout the poll of both sides of this equation. Another piece of evidence I would put in is it's really about a 50-minute interview, but it turns out being a 70-minute interview in practice because people are so verbose in their open-ended responses. And then even in the responses to what we call closed-ended questions, where we give them a set of possible responses, they'll say afterwards, "Let me tell you why I said that." In fact, we had people following us around asking if they could be interviewed next, or you have to hear my sister's story, or please come listen to this person's story. And, of course, we can't do that because that lets people select into the sample. But this is a case of, as in many cases, where really authoritarian and tyrannical regimes have fallen, where people are eager. If you look at the Iraqi press right now, you see it's very vibrant. People are really eager to talk to the rest of the world about what they've been through.
Ben, thank you.
I would note also, you know, in the Gallup poll, more Baghdad residents expressed negative views of the United States and of President Bush than regarded them positively. So you certainly don't have a lot of sucking up going on there.
Correct. I think they think, in a nutshell, that we did the right thing for the wrong reasons.
Well, Gary, I wanted to ask you, we just have about a minute left, if you could sum up from looking at this poll and others what you think Iraqi opinion really is.
Well, frankly, I think I'll give half the minute to Richard because he's in a better position to summarize his data, but it seems to be a mixed bag. One thing to keep in mind is that the Gallup poll is now getting a little long in the tooth for survey research. It was conducted, I think, finished up in September. Time has passed. The situation has changed, and I think it's probably time to freshen up the data.
Richard?
Very good point. Any poll is a snapshot in time, and this is a fluid situation. We've already committed to doing this on a tracking basis and also to building it out to a nationwide sample, both of which are big challenges, but both of which are right in my inbox.
Can I ask you very briefly, Richard, who pays for this poll?
Very good question, and I think Gary mentioned it up front. We did ourselves. We recouped some of that after the fact. We have a premium subscription service called Premium Tuesday Briefing where some of the in-depth analysis is written, but always a good question to ask a pollster because even if the poll is reliable, there's sometimes an agenda behind it. We're fortunate to have a CEO who came to us and said, back in March, we have to be the first outfit to measure this properly. We'll put it on our nickel, and we'll worry about that later.
Richard Burkholder, Director of International Polling for the Gallup Organization, was with us from his office in Princeton. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Gary Langer, Director of Polling for ABC News, was with us from his office in New York. We appreciate your time today, too.
You bet, Neil.
In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.